Life in Jiu-Jitsu is the official podcast of East Sac BJJ. Whether you're an expert level practitioner or just getting started, there's a place for everyone at East Sac BJJ. Adult and children's classes are only $75 a month, and we offer a beginner-friendly environment for everyone feels welcome to come and find a stronger version of themselves. More information at eastsacbjj.com. I'll see you there. Hi, it's your host Jabron here with a call to action. I'm hoping you can help me get the word out about Life in Jiu-Jitsu. I feel like right now, it's thought of as only a local podcast for the Sacramento region. But in reality, the stories and lessons shared here are applicable to the worldwide BJJ community. Help me take Life in Jiu-Jitsu to the next level by sharing it with a friend, posting it on a message board, or reviewing us 5 stars in iTunes. Every little bit helps. Thanks again. I hope you enjoy the show. It's another episode of Life in Jiu-Jitsu. I'm here with my man, Albert Tapia.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on, brother.
Thank you for having me.
Hey.
Forward to this.
This is your song here, I Feel Good, Thomas Rhett.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I picked that song when I started, I think, one of my last, like, two fights, MMA, and then transitioned to Fight to Win. I started following Thomas Rhett, and that was like one of his songs that came out last, but I think it was right when I moved out to Orange County. I was living by Huntington Beach, and I must have played that song every time I went to the beach, so it was like me and my dog, and just that song stuck.
Yeah, hey, let me get you to talk right into this thing, right? Or just bring it back. If you want to sit back like that, just bring it, just, yeah, and this arm will come out like this here. Boom. Yeah. Hey, Dreamer the Lost Angel says, Coach Albert, identify yourself. We don't know who you are.
That's Ivan Delgado at a UFC gym, La Mirada, when I was coaching in Southern California.
Oh, cool.
So I was out there for a while.
Cool. Hey, so you're an MMA guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're a wrestler.
Wrestler.
You're a jiu-jitsu brown belt.
Yes.
You're a lifelong martial artist.
Yeah.
This is crazy, man. How'd you get started?
So I think where I got started was kind of revamping myself wrestling in college. I started at Sac City and didn't really quite finish out as I wanted to. I was with Dave Pacheco, Sac City Panthers, and I transferred out to Texas to wrestle.
Where was Leyen? Or
Wayland Baptist. Collegiate program in the state of Texas.
Oh, shit.
So I wrestled there.
You're competing with, like, football and stuff out there.
Yeah. And the high school programs out there were, like, make our college programs look small.
Really?
Like, it's insane how, like, much money they put into their football programs out there.
Yeah.
We traveled a lot. Practice at different high schools, and like their schools were huge, the facilities were huge,
everything's bigger in Texas.
Yeah, literally, yeah.
You know, like, they say if the they say if the states were countries, Texas would be America.
It'd be its own country. Yeah, it's insane. I was in a small town though, about 25,000, so it wasn't that big, and I had a teammate who was a fighter but wanted to learn wrestling, so he joined the wrestling program, Javier Menjadas, out of Texas. And I started going to practice with him, helping on his wrestling with a small facility, Team Extreme in Plainview, with Coach Tommy. And he was like, "Hey, you want to fight?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure, I'll try it out." And then ever since then, that it stuck.
He just had you take an MMA fight right off the bat?
Kind of a couple months in. You know, I lost my first one, but I think my first fight was against somebody who was like 5-0. It was my first fight. Jonathan Lopez, I remember that, and you know, I went 3 rounds, I lost, but
you lost a decision.
Decision, yeah.
What happened? You just couldn't take him down.
I think I took him down a few times, but my striking sucked.
Yeah.
So, you know, then I got into more striking because he was a prominent boxing gym.
Okay.
I ended up doing pro boxing fights and pro K-1 fights. So,
oh shit!
Yeah, Albert. So I fought overseas.
Russia. All over, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, holy shit.
Got to fight all
the time. I didn't know you were such a well-rounded martial artist.
I try to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get to learn a lot. I traveled, trained. During when I was in Texas, I traveled to Arizona, trained at the MMA lab.
How old are you?
Now I'm 31.
Okay.
So I think my first fight was at 22, 23, around there. And between all the combative sports, cage and ring, I think I have over like 50 fights. So about that 8 years between amateur, pro, professional, boxing, kickboxing,
and whatnot. Yeah.
Started to add up.
So you just got the bug right away? Like as soon as you took that fight, you're like, oh, this is what I want to do?
Yeah, I just wanted to keep getting better. it took a while before I actually got into jiu-jitsu. I had about, I think, 5 amateur fights, and finally, like, I got submitted, like, really quick against a, you know, solid kid. Took him down, just tapped me instantly. I was like, time to learn jiu-jitsu.
Shit. This jiu-jitsu shit's real.
Yeah. And then, you know, I was driving an hour from Plainview to Lubbock because I was, like, the nearest facility or academy.
Yeah. Hey, so can you do me a favor? Can you scoot in, get in the frame a little bit more? Go. Just scoot in, scoot your chair in a little bit. Just to... Cool.
Can you see me?
Cool. And, here we go. Bethany and Quinn says the volume is fine, which is good. That's the easiest thing to fuck up. Bethany, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really easy to fuck up the audio. So you're driving an hour just to get to practice?
Just to get to jiu-jitsu. I'd wake up at like 4:45 in the morning. Oh,
God. Dude.
Class was at 6. I'd go to class at 6, either go have breakfast or sleep in my car, and then go to class at 11, and then drive back for wrestling practice or like, because at the time I was coaching now. When I started doing jiu-jitsu now, I was coaching, so I had to drive back to coach wrestling practice at Wayland. So, you know, it was a lot of commuting just for an hour or two of jiu-jitsu. But, you know, if I was going to go, I stayed for the morning and afternoon class.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's funny is I talked to, at ESAC BJJ. Okay. I talked to him. I don't know if you remember Ashwin and some of these guys.
I remember long hair.
Yeah. He's like the Indian Samson.
Yes.
It's funny because the girls are his weakness too. No, I'm just kidding. But I talked to my guys about this idea of like marginal cost, where it's like, you know, in business, marginal cost is like if you, like with these pharmaceutical pills, like the first one might cost like $10 million to develop because you have to put all the research into the first pill. But then once you have it down, like the second pill is like 10 cents. You know what I mean? It's like once you build one, the next one is easy. And I talked to my students about this with just staying after class for 10 minutes, just staying after class for 20 minutes. I was like, guys, you know, the whole drilling portion of the class is 20 minutes. Because mm-hmm. we're warming up, then we're drilling, then we're doing a new move, and then, you know, rolling. But the whole class, you know, you get 20 minutes to drill. So if you stick around for an extra 20 minutes, it's like you did a whole nother class drilling wise. And, you know, the marginal cost is really low. Your wife's already mad at you. You already missed.
For leaving, yeah.
Yeah. Your wife's already mad at you. You already missed dinner. You already drove here. You know, you know, for you to get another 20 minutes and you're gonna have to drive here again, you're already wet. You know, you're already sweaty. So, you know, and if you do that 3 times a week, it's almost like you got a whole nother week.
Another hour of drilling.
Yeah.
20 minutes.
You know, but for nothing. Because if you were to go, like, if you go 3 days a week and you want to get another hour, and okay, you have to go in another day, that's another, and then your commute is like, you know, some people don't have that. You know, my commute's 10 minutes, thank goodness, yeah. You know, yeah. But the commute like yours, then you start making sense like, oh, shit, maybe I will just stay a little bit longer, yeah. Right?
I got to make use of it. Like, why am I going to drive an hour for, again, 20 minutes of drilling and yeah. rolling, right? Now I teach now. And with that, like, so I used to have that habit of, like, whatever we drill, throw out the window once it comes to live rolling and work on what I'm good at, right?
Yeah. Your wrestling?
Yeah.
Did you just go back to your wrestling a lot? Or?
In the beginning stages, up to about purple belt. And then I realized I got to learn some jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
So, like, then that didn't work as well anymore. But yeah, I put like my students in a situational, so now they're forced to use the technique. So yeah. Before we do live rolling, we do a round of situationals or two, and then so they had to practice the technique. Like you learned it, use it.
Yeah. Yeah. How do people respond to that?
I haven't had any backlash yet. Yeah. So, I mean,
and you think they actually learn like that?
I think they're really absorbing it.
No, I'm not being cynical. Yeah.
No, I think you should. Now you're like, okay, I'm in this position. Let's see if what coach said worked. Right.
Yeah.
Let's try it.
Yeah.
So they have to find out. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe it worked, and no, it doesn't work for me. Right? You find techniques that don't work for you.
Oh yeah.
Right? All the time. I mean, you just got to find what does work. Or
do you tell your students that, like, hey, this might be for you, it might not be for you.
Yeah, I tell them all the time. Like, especially like when I show like a little smaller moves. I really don't show too many inversions.
Okay.
But, like, you're not gonna have this huge guy that's just gonna turn upside down with another huge guy on him. Not there.
Yeah.
Right. Why would you turn upside down with 300, 200 something pounds on you?
Yeah. But for you all day.
I don't like inversion. I don't. I'll try it here and there, but not my thing. More of a smash and pass and lately ankle locks because, you know, 10th planet. So kind of been switching it up. So lately I've been chilling that a lot.
So you went out to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you said you're wrestling with Sac City Panthers.
Yes.
They run a solid program out there.
they bring everybody from San Joaquin section goes to Sac City. I think.
Those guys, man, are savage.
But Dave Pachenko, what he does, and he just recently retired, if you guys know who that is, he had like the highest transfer rate of student athletes. I think the community college there, and that's all the sports. The highest transfer rate for student athletes and the highest GPA of the California community colleges.
Oh, cool.
So it wasn't like they were just like, oh, here, come play sport now, later. You know, they took care of like their athletes. We had their sports counselor aside from the academic counselor. So they really took part of their...
Okay, how are you going to get out of here?
Yeah, you're going to get out of here and go to a better school. A four-year.
Yeah.
And pick up
a trade and go or whatever. Yeah. But there's an exit strategy.
Mm-hmm. Not just come wrestle, okay, later, come play, you know, baseball, football, or softball.
Otherwise, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
Especially for a community college, yeah.
And I think Sac City had tons of wrestlers, like, would transfer to the four-year program and NAIA program, and their program just continues to grow.
Yeah. Is it still Dave Pacheco?
He just retired, like, literally probably a month or two ago, maybe, or this year.
Dave, if you're listening, come on the show, man. I'm sure a lot of your old wrestlers would love to hear from you.
That'd be good to have you
on. I had Chris Campbell on.
I remember Chris. Yeah,
I had Chris Campbell on, and he's one of my most viewed. You know, as passionate as jiu-jitsu guys are about jiu-jitsu, wrestlers, man. I mean, I think it's because wrestling is probably something that you do as a kid. And it's like the culture of wrestling is like, you can overcome any obstacle. You know, it's so healthy for you. People take that wrestling mindset into the rest of their lives. And it's just like, you know, I don't know. Like, I know a lot of people that, like, you know, did jiu-jitsu for a few years and kind of it wasn't for them. Or they did for 3 years and then they stopped or whatever. And that's kind of it's like, oh, yeah, I did jiu-jitsu. But if anyone did wrestling for like 3 or 4 years in high school, they're like a wrestler for life. You know,
like I did wrestling.
Yeah,
they have stories for about it too.
Yeah,
no, that's true. Like just kind of different mindset, like you said.
Yeah,
you know, goes into your work ethic and just like your lifestyle, not the weight cut usually. Yeah, that's one bad thing you see people wrestlers tend to like. You didn't wrestle the same weight I did. Look at what you did.
Yeah,
people gain weight, but I mean. I think athlete wise, like it, right now, I remember was it UFC at 1 year? They had a 7 out of 10 champs were wrestlers.
Yeah.
It's just.
I mean, shit, if we look right now, I think it's probably all wrestlers too.
Here. I'm going to look it up. So we got Cejudo.
Okay, right. Here we go. Cormier from the top down. Cormier.
Wrestler.
Yeah. Right. Jones.
Oklahoma State.
Wrestler.
Wrestler.
Whitaker. Not a wrestler, but. His wrestling is legit. Usman, wrestler. Khabib, wrestler. Cejudo, wrestler. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, this goes to show, like, I mean, this is the transitional sport, whether you want to keep it on your feet or take it to the ground, it holds everything together.
Yeah, Khabib, Holloway. The men's bantamweight title is vacant, but before that it was Dillashaw, who's a wrestler. Silly Dilly.
After what happened.
Yeah, yeah. He was, you know what's, you know what kind of got me about the whole Cody Garbrandt versus Dillashaw thing? And I love them both. I couldn't root for one or the other. I knew them both. You know, I'm not like buddies with them. I'm not hanging out with them, but I knew them both. When people are like, oh, you know, fuck TJ. You know, he's a traitor or whatever. Dude, TJ's the one who's actually from Sacramento. He's from Angels Camp. Like, he's the guy who's actually from here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
He's at a wrestler at a Fireball in the San Joaquin section. So another San Joaquin section wrestler.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, just in case.
Yeah. Did you ever run into him?
He's usually a weight class above me.
Oh, got it.
I think, yeah, he's always a weight class above me.
Yeah.
When he was wrestling, he's a year older than me, so I didn't run into him.
Gotcha. Here we go. Amanda Nunes, not a wrestler. Amanda Nunes again, Valentina Shevchenko, Jessica Andrade. Yeah, so no wrestlers in the women's. But yeah, definitely all the men except for two are wrestlers. So what was that transfer to Texas like?
Man, so small town, like I said, 25,000. There's not much. You had Amarillo North, 45 minutes to an hour. Lubbock South, 45 minutes to an hour. And that was about it.
Yeah.
Not much out there. Everything, if I wanted to do jiu-jitsu tournaments, I'd drive to Dallas, San Antonio, Austin, Oklahoma City, all 5 to 7 hour drives. Oh, Houston, 9 hours. Like, if I wanted tournaments.
Yeah.
There's no tournaments where I was at. Albuquerque, 5 hours.
Yeah. It's probably not too much better now, is it?
Yeah. Because, well, I mean,
jiu-jitsu, if you're in the city, like, it's really California.
Southern, man. So another thing, okay. So I went from Texas to Southern California. Tournaments every weekend, yeah. Like all within driving distance.
Yeah.
Then I'm out here in Northern California. Tournaments, yeah, they're in the Bay Area. If you're in the Bay Area, cool. But like, again, I'm not.
Yeah.
So that's like 2 hours. And then there's kind of spread thin.
Bay Area traffic.
Yeah.
Getting a room in the Bay Area. Yeah. Fuck.
And spread thin. So it's like, I mean, we have one coming out June 8th. Hope you guys are competing. Was that BGJ Tour?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a bunch of students competing for the first time.
That's our competition debut.
Yes.
That's our competition debut, man. We did the practice matches last Friday.
How'd that go?
Everyone lost like 10 IQ points. You know, I really worked hard to set it up and like make it like a pressure cooker in there. Mm-hmm. So I brought all the studio equipment. I brought a TV to hook up to the computer so that I had like a score screen, like a scoreboard, you know, so people could look at their score.
Nice.
No one thoughtfully looked back at their score. Not one guy. I was like, guys, I bought the thing for you guys to look thoughtfully at your score and figure out what you need to do to catch up.
I think that takes a lot of time before they could be able to do that.
Not one person. Fucking check the score, guys. Come on. Think about what you need to do to win. So I could have just not brought the TV, but I think it kind of freaked them out. I brought these, I have these like studio lights that I brought in to freak them out. And I was like streaming it live on Facebook and I had like I was like the announcer and whatnot. Everyone lost like 10. It's so funny because like a lot of my guys are like, yeah, I want to go for ankle locks, you know, like, like, you know, working to like really understand the reaping rule. This is reaping, not reaping, you know, outside pressure is okay. Inside pressure is not good. You know, all that shit's just out the window.
Like,
it was just all triangles, all arm bars. No one dove on a leg. Not one person dove on a leg. I mean, it was sloppy, dude. It was just carnage, man. I had guys like pulling, like attempting to pull guard, but really falling to side control.
Pull the guy just on top and just give them the takedown.
Down to their back and pulling a guy down, or like being on top. But guys, I'm proud of you guys. I'm not clowning you guys. I'm proud of you guys. But it's kind of funny. Like everyone's first competition, you know, it's like,
it happens to everybody.
It's like when you lose your virginity. Like, it's just like, it's just a weird, like, awkward situation.
Can I do that right?
Yeah.
Think about it the whole time.
Yeah.
<it's>, get better.
Yeah. So, you're just too nervous the first time, you know?
But again, when I coach, I really push competition early.
Yeah.
So like, and I do. So most students out there, if I tell you to compete, don't freak out. You know, I think what it allows them to do is figure out what, you know, they're working on, what they're good at and what they're not working at.
Like,
it just gives them more. I think it teaches them how to train too as well.
Yeah.
And they come back after their competition and they have a different training mindset.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while, you might lose a person.
Yeah.
That happens, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, I mean, most of the time, we hope not.
Ashwin lost IQ points in the competition. Logan and Darren lost IQ points in the competition. It's okay. I mean, it's okay. But that's why we did it on Friday, so that it's not new on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, this upcoming Saturday. I'm tremendously proud of the effort. These guys have been working really hard and consistently. Like, they were like, and then Darren was like, yeah, fuck, man. Like, I just, like, I couldn't move. He was like, you know, like that dream, like when you have that dream and you can't like punch hard. He was like, it was like that, you know, like just, I was like, yeah, guys, you know, the adrenaline dump is real, you know? So hopefully this is the sort of thing that we can do once every 3 months and just really get people used to that pressure cooker. You know what I mean? Also, the warm-up protocol is different. I was like, you guys have one little area of the mat to warm up.
At least you gave him a mat to warm up, but I think like IBJJF doesn't even give you mats.
They give you hardwood, yeah.
And like, go warm up outside.
Yeah, you know, and then the other thing, so it's like, I was telling guys, like, guys, warm up. And one guy was just in the chair, seated back, talking to his girlfriend. I'm like, dude, you're up in 5 minutes, you know. But, you know, all this stuff kind of takes time. I think it was a tremendously positive experience. Saturday, win, lose, or draw, I've seen these guys like work really hard, go for runs, get their weight down. I'm fucking proud of them already. And then I think we get to Saturday. Hopefully it's just about having fun at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jay and Luke actually gained IQ points in the competition. You know, Jay hit like the best double leg I've seen like in a little mock tournament, dude, especially for a white belt. You know, he like, it wasn't a slam, but he really like took
nice little arch.
Yeah. Nice little arch. You know what I mean? That was the end of the match.
Oh,
right there.
Mm-hmm.
But Jay got like smarter in the competition. And then Luke, who's like kind of like, he's an engineering student, you can see him kind of really thinking about like
more like analytical style,
very analytical style. But sometimes I wonder if like, I was like, dude, come on, put some balls into it, Luke. Like, come on, you know. But when Luke needs to wake up, he really does, man, because he went two and one in the little mock tournament. Mm-hmm. You know.
Okay.
And I was, because he's so mild mannered, he's always just like Luke is one of the guys that I can really trust to like go with our, like with my wife or with Esme, who's one of our smaller females. because he is thoughtful. You know what I mean? So it's really compliment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I don't often get to see him like put the oomph into it. And then on Friday, he just turned it on like really nicely.
And sometimes you have those people who like compete under the lights. You know, yeah. You can turn it on. And then you have, I mean, unfortunately, mat room heroes.
Yeah.
Really good. And they go out there and like shuts down, right?
Yeah. So, gym gods.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then they go out there and not the same. You're like, that's what I expected. And then you have other people, you're like, this is going to be rough for them. They go out there and they perform, you know?
Yeah. So, what was your arc with like that?
The arch?
And what was your arc for like man.
So like my first wrestling tournament, I didn't know. I think I had to cut to 112, but I woke up, ate a bowl of cereal, honeycombs. didn't make weight. I was like 2 pounds over. I didn't know how to cut weight. Whatever.
Yeah.
I got really lucky. I went 5-0 that day. That's probably the only reason I wrestled. You know, just happened to be pretty good at it. I didn't wrestle freshman year.
Did you run into some fish too, or what happened?
Probably was a local team tournament. So it had JV and varsity guys.
Yeah.
Just a good day. I think I won my like first like, you know, 10 matches ever, and then I ran to a kid, Barrett Abel, who just put an ass whooping on me, made me wake up, and like, okay,
there's levels.
There's people out here that are good.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure like that like success made me like just right off the bat like stick with wrestling, you know?
Yeah.
So that helped. Then by the time I got to jiu-jitsu, I would just walk into a tournament, especially at the white belt level. Kind of just the wrestling just overcame a lot of grapplers, you know?
Yeah.
So then I felt kind of like I felt sandbagging. So what I would do is if I did both gi and no gi, I would sign up gi, white belt, advanced no-gi, knowing I was going to lose.
Yeah.
Like, I'd go advanced no-gi, hang in there for a while, then lose.
Like, a guillotine or something.
Triangled usually by the, you know, upper belts. And then...
That's a phenomenal experience.
Yeah. Like, it got to, like, put me back, okay, I need to kind of up my jiu-jitsu game to hang with the higher belts, you know?
Yeah.
And then it probably wasn't until I came out here to Orange County, I really started improving my jiu-jitsu game to, like, compete with jiu-jitsu with jiu-jitsu, you know, back and forth rather than just wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
I wrestle somebody. So, but competition wise, I really, like I said, how you had one of your students kind of just sitting down.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's all I did, just sit down. I'll just hang out there, kind of sit on the floor, just wait. Again, it's not the same. I think after getting punched in the face at MMA, those nerves aren't there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I was talking to my student about this. And I haven't done a lot of MMA. I had one MMA fight, one boxing fight, and then a bunch of like little Muay Thai smokers in San Diego and like boxing smokers here and there. But for me, like after doing like the MMA fight and the little boxing match, even now I feel like for me it's hard to go backwards. Like MMA is so much more exciting. Like I don't know, it's more fun too. Honestly, you know what I mean? Like I'm a jiu-jitsu guy. But I find jiu-jitsu hard to watch, like, as a consumer, like, for entertainment. I'd rather watch, like, stand-up, like, freestyle wrestling, even, which is, like, so exciting.
Yeah, you're waiting for that big toss.
And the exchanges are really cool, and they're, like, easy to, like, easy to recognize. And, like, everybody in the world understands, like, two guys are standing, who gets taken down. That's, like, that's, like, really simple, you know what I mean? And I feel like when I think about jiu-jitsu as like a product for viewership, like you guys got it, like something's got to be done to, I don't know. I just worry that all these different, I'm not taking that shit on jiu-jitsu competition. I really believe in it. And in fact, I mean, I've got guys competing. I believe in it, but, to like make it like a mass market appeal type of thing. I worry that like the, like EBI and IBJJF, like these are almost community. Like we're just talking to each other. We're just, like broadcasting it for other jiu-jitsu people,
not bringing in the outside,
and not bringing in the out. You know what I mean? Not bringing in the outside world. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. If I go to a jiu-jitsu tournament, unless I know the person, it's boring.
Yeah,
just like you said.
Yeah,
it's boring. I just that. Did you watch combat jiu-jitsu the other night?
No, I want. I keep missing it, but I want to because that is compelling to me.
So yes, I kind of beat myself up. for not going to our own Tempe qualifiers. I was supposed to go down to LA for on Easter,
but we had gotten into a little accident.
We got rear-ended.
You're a brand new dad too.
Yeah, and we got rear-ended, so I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna buy a ticket, and that was just for the qualifiers. But before that, so EBI, one of my teammates, or that I we're both sponsored from ATTC, All Things Through Christ.
Okay, cool.
Richard Red Alicron out of One Jiu Jitsu, Jiva Santana. Just great, phenomenal athlete. He won it the other night. So, but just two guys that I lost to, one in finisher subs in the finals. Austin Daffron, he was in the semis, and then Jesus Urbina out of El Paso. I lost to him in the, you know, semis at Ultimate Mat Warriors. So just to know, like, hey, these guys are in the finals.
Yeah.
And I'm in there with them.
You're right there in the mix.
And I'm pretty sure probably two of those guys are going to be there this weekend at the Kaisei event qualifier 135s.
Okay.
So, but I think like those, like combat jiu-jitsu at least getting some, because again, it's on UFC Fight Pass. So even like a
bigger platform.
But with these like pro invitationals where like there's money awarded, it does get some interest, I think, a little bit, you know? That's compelling for sure. But even then, some people who just don't understand it, no. But the combat jiu-jitsu, everybody's going to want to see somebody get slapped.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, you guys, like, you hear it, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's really understand. Like, I feel like that adds a layer of like just clear relatability. Like, there's a dude on top of you. If you can't get him off, you're going to get slapped. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, it's tough because, like, in like with jiu-jitsu, what it teaches really well is how to pry someone's arms off their body, or how to like sink in a choke when they're totally resisting. And that makes it way easier to get your to get any of your attacks off, like in an open field like MMA, where anything can happen. Like, boom, right there, there's the opening, right? Mm-hmm. So when someone's totally resisting, you can pry someone off of them. That's like really, but it's hard for like the spectator to really appreciate that exchange, I think, is the drawback. You know what I mean? Especially in the gi, man, forget about it. Like, gi jiu-jitsu, when I think about gi jiu-jitsu for like a television audience, I can't think of a single, you know.
I mean, I'd rather watch like a judo.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because tosses are super compelling. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think about, for myself, I'm not super passionate about competition just at this stage right now. I'm really passionate about coaching my guys. Mm-hmm. I don't know a ton of people that are like competing and business owners and you know, coaching their guys really well, except for Elliot Kelly, shout out, and Yamaso as well. But they have help also. They have other coaches and stuff. But right now I'm like really focused on growing ESAC BJJ. But, you know, I think for me, even for a lot of people, I see jiu-jitsu as just like a part of a really healthy like daily lifestyle, almost like doing yoga or like surfing or something like that. Mm-hmm. But like the competition doesn't really call to me right now at this point. I think that's okay. One of the things about it that I think people are going to learn, my students, is that like competing is like its own path. So like for those folks that are interested in competition, you're going to like, you know, I had one student be like, oh, well, you know, I mean, the tournament's this Saturday. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, so, and he's like, missed practice yesterday because I have a date. And it's like, well, you know, yeah, like you, but you know, that's like, that guy's in a master's bracket, and that's more of like a hobbyist thing, and he's probably gonna be all right. He's a talented guy, but like,
dang, I just got called old. I'm in master bracket sometimes.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm 32. What are you, 31?
31.
Yeah, I'm 32. I'm older than you, you know. But it's just like, you know, more and more like when you see like those like yourself, Joy and Liz, yeah, Dustin Akbari, Mike Malott, those guys are, that's all they do. That's all they do, you know? So there's like lifestyle implications. So when people ask me like, why don't you compete? I was like, well, because I'm enjoying this lifestyle. Like, I'm enjoying this lifestyle. Like, I'm going to be really conscious. If I'm going to jump into like a brown belt IBJJF, I'm going to jump into like a no-gi expert division, I'm going to have to give up some other aspects of my lifestyle that I'm just not prepared to do right now. I'm newly married. We have a boat. I like to, you know, let me be fat on my boat. Let me enjoy myself. Yeah. And
it takes away from your students too. Like if you're on competitions, that if that's your focus, like
me.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing wrong with that. Like you said, you're trying to grow at ESAC BJJ. Why not? It's a great program. All the students in there really nice when I went in, because I think I went in about three times. You've done it twice.
Dude, you had like the coolest exchange. You had like the coolest, like most radical exchange with Miguel. When you guys were just going takedowns, and he had like your leg up on his shelf, and you're doing like a technical stand. Dude, you guys like, it's cool that you guys can flow like that, because he's so much bigger than you, but you guys were just like flow wrestling. It was fucking cool to watch, man. Miguel, shout out, dude. We miss you, brother.
Get that head fixed.
Yeah, get that head fixed. Come on back when you're ready. Come just to watch if you want, man. Matt, dude, Miguel, Ashwin, Ashwin was like, well, we got to send him a card or something because he taught me so much. Like, Miguel's one of those guys, he'd like stay after practice.
He didn't work with you.
Yeah, just like, you know, because he saw the level of wrestling in our room. And he's like, all right, guys, come here. Let me show you guys a couple things. Yeah. You know, especially like Ashwin and some of the other guys. And he's just like, just move around your stance. Just let me show you this. Let me show you that. Here's some games, you know? Fucking great guy.
Yeah, and I think he's also coaching at, well, during season, Kennedy. He helps out their program as well.
Yeah.
So he's kind of jumping around. And, I mean, he wrestled at Sac City, too. I know he wrestled long, like, a while back. But, I mean, and you, the basics kind of just pass over. As long as you have the basics, you're fine, especially in jiu-jitsu, you know.
Basics plus protect your neck.
Yeah.
I think the neck is a big one.
Yeah, especially if you're trying to take a shot, just learning. I think that's one of the biggest things that kind of turn people off taking shots.
Yeah.
Which I find a lot. It's like, oh, I just learned this. Every time I take a double, I get guillotined.
Yeah.
I think wrestlers just come with that, like, that shrug already, like, little neck. So
Yeah. Tour. Hey, so Miguel wrestled at CSU Bakersfield, right? Didn't he wrestle
Bakersfield? Hey, he wrestled Bakersfield High.
Got it. Okay. I mean,
don't quote me. I believe so.
Like, yeah, the Bakersfield High. But he said the coaches there were just awful. Like, Bakersfield has a reputation for just being so stern, right?
Stern and kind of keeping certain athletes. This was a while back, so kind of out of the high school program talk. But, you know, keeping athletes back or knowing, you know, starting athletes late so they
get sandbagging. So they get that fifth year or something like that?
Fifth year. That was when they had the programs out there. They don't have programs anymore out there. So, like,
really?
The college programs.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure they're probably not as much anymore.
Yeah.
You know, or just starting students late, transferring. But
transferring at the exact right time of the year.
Yeah, things like that. And, but that was a while back. And they had a killer program, remember? I think about seven of their state placers 1 year all went to Oklahoma State.
Shit.
It was like Chris Pendleton and Morgan and the big heavyweight guy, Mako.
Yeah, Mako, yeah.
He wasn't from Bakersfield, though. But they had about six guys all go to Oklahoma State. I remember that.
Shit. Just
watching them. It was crazy. But then Miguel came and wrestled at Sac City after that. So
gotcha.
That's where I met Miguel at Sac City. After he was actually done. So he was done wrestling and then we ran into each other after. He just kind of came and worked out here and there with the team. That's where I met him. So
Miguel, you're the fucking man, dude. Come on back and say hi to the guys when you get a chance. Hey, so what was your transition to striking like?
From boxy, you know, wrestler. So it was like really boxing, like stiff.
Yeah. like pushing with your arms?
A little bit. And it took me a while. You know, I started loosening up. Got away from that, you know, because again, like I said, the wrestlers have that like small, like neck, you know, tight neck, and kind of just transition to wrestling.
Well, everything's kind of like stiff, right?
Yeah,
like stiff, and like I feel like with wrestling, you're like whipping you're like throwing it, like not stiff, right?
So that's good.
Yeah,
and then but I enjoyed boxing, so it was really kind of like really took to it and had some boxing fight, and I think boxing's actually, in a way, more fun than like MMA.
Boxing is super fun.
I have to really be invested in the boxers.
Yeah, I prefer to watch MMA, but I love boxing.
Yes, like, exactly.
Fuck, it's so much fun.
K1's brutal. You know, doing that one.
There's no leg kicks in K1.
There, so it's
modified rules, right?
So there's different versions. There's full contact, which is kickboxing above the waist.
Okay.
There's low kick, which you can kick anywhere. Legs.
Low kick's brutal.
Yeah. Then there's K1, you could throw kicks and knees, no elbows, but you could do like a clinch and release, clinch knee release or catch.
Okay.
Knee. So that's K1. And then you have your Muay Thai where you could add in the elbows. So those are the versions. I never did a Muay Thai fight.
Good. Good.
I was like, I don't know. Yeah. K1 was about close.
Stay fresh, dude.
Yeah.
So you did K1, knee kicks and knees, no elbows.
Mm-hmm.
Was low kicks?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was pretty intense. I enjoyed that. Did a couple fights in Brazil and then Russia.
Shit.
So, yeah.
What was that like?
Experience.
For K1?
Well, yeah, K1.
Yeah.
Both.
They take care of you pretty good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Took care of everything. Flight, paid, food.
Nice.
I got to see the waterfalls out there in the Foz do Iguazu.
Brazil?
It? Yeah, 8th Wonders of the World.
Oh, cool.
It was insane.
Yeah.
It was a trip.
Did you win your fights?
That trip I did. The other one's not so lucky.
Did you fight like the Russian experiment or something?
Who did I fight? I fought a kid from Kazakhstan. And
Anyone from that part of the world is fucking trouble, dude.
Those
guys are just fucking savages.
And then, so the fight in Brazil kind of got screwed on this one. So we were practicing a low kick, I think a low kick fight. No knees, right? No knees.
Oh, low kick is no knees?
No knees, yeah.
Oh, shit.
So I practice on rolling, right? Because this guy was taller than me.
Yeah.
Right. So rolling a lot of body shots and older. And this was for IKF, International Kick Federation, or in Waco combined.
Okay.
And we get there right before.
Wait, so K1's a rule set.
K1's a rule set.
Got it.
Yeah. We get there and then weigh in, all that good stuff. And then right before the fight, hey, we're doing K1. Like, no.
No, shit.
Like, we're doing K1 or no fight. I'm like,
you're already there.
Yeah, I'm there.
Fuck that, dude. Yeah.
Sure enough, like, I'm rolling.
Knees.
Finally, after like the fourth round,
my knees coming.
Knee came, perfect timing, right to the dome.
Oh my God. Laid out?
Yep.
Shit.
Yeah. Shit. And then he took me to lunch the next day.
The guy took you to lunch?
He took the coaches, him and his family. Because we're out there, you know.
The guy who fucked you? Yeah. He took you to lunch the next day?
We all had like a barbecue. They had like those nice fire pits in their house, and we ate there.
It's like, hey, why don't you come over? how's your headache?
Yeah, pretty much. Food was good though. Shit. So I was like, oh, rough, but it was a good experience too.
Yeah,
out there.
Yeah,
you know,
you didn't suffer any like CTE or you felt fine.
Yeah, I was good. Unfortunately, that was like my first knockout, I think.
Or the second. Mexican chin, man.
That was, yeah. For a while that lasted.
Yeah.
And then started catching up to you.
Yeah. What took you to Sacramento?
Well, I'm from here.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you were from here.
So originally from here.
Okay.
Christian Brothers High School.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Sac City. So we came out here recently, had a little one. February 17th.
I saw Courtney with you. It was a boy or girl?
Little boy. Aaron.
You like real small.
Yeah, he's small. He was born like 6 pounds. You know, his parents aren't that big, so he wasn't going to be too lucky. And I think now, just recently, like a couple weeks, like 2 weeks ago, he hit above 11 pounds.
Yeah, so nice.
There. Yeah. But he goes to practice with me and Courtney. Like, we go to practice, like, he goes, I think he was out of like 10 practices, maybe had like one bad practice where he like cried. But other than that,
that's not too bad.
He's pretty relaxed.
That's not too bad. So
he's already on the
getting idea. But you have more like support in the family here. You can like leave him with the grandparents.
Well, we could, but we don't. we kind of take him everywhere. Just get used to it, rather than kind of like just like, okay, we're gonna go do this.
Yeah.
We just take him.
But you have the support if you need it, mm-hmm. which is super helpful.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's why we came out here originally.
Nice, dude.
But, yeah, so
nice. But you had to leave your coaching job at 10th Planet.
So. I was at UFC gym La Mirada.
La Mirada.
Soka, and I was training at 10th Planet.
Gotcha.
So UFC gym, I did both gi and no gi, taught there.
Okay.
I filled in every once in a while at 10th Planet. It's like when our coaches would head out for fights wrestling class. So, you know, I would sub here and there. But then I came out here to Ultimate Fitness.
Gotcha.
Coach class is there.
Okay.
Tuesday, Thursday, 6 a.m., no gi.
Oh, is that what you're coaching?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Good to know.
So I get the morning class.
Okay. Cool.
That's what I'm doing right now. So
awesome. So what's next for you, like competition wise, fight wise?
Competition wise, I have an event this Sunday, KSA event qualifier. The winner gets to head out to Orlando, Florida, all paid trip. So that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, have you ever been out there?
Not. I went out to Florida for like a day, but just stayed out there to fly out to Brazil. So
yeah. Orlando really looks like a video game level.
I haven't been there.
It's all green, like crazy, like a shade of green you don't see here.
Yeah.
Like bright green. Yeah.
I haven't been there yet. So I keep telling myself I'm going to go there. Got to travel a lot, but I haven't been to Florida. So after that, after Kaisei, let's see, I think big event wise, you know, there's some local events I'll be doing, but big event, I'm looking for Fight to Win July 13th. Seth, Missy put me on that show.
Nice. Seth's the man.
Huh?
Seth's the man.
Yeah, he is. I met Seth when I was out in Texas competing in all his tournaments out there. So, and then saw him on the Fight to Win shows I had to get on. So he's been I've been fortunate and had the opportunity to be on there like 6 times.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's pretty cool. So
any MMA in your future? Are you done with it, you think?
You know, I went out kind of on the losing streak and not too happy about that. So I want to get into it. And when I do, like, I've just been kind of, you know, I'll go solid for a week. And if I miss one day, then I kind of miss like a week.
Yeah.
So I just got to find that.
Well, it's tough with everything you're doing too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes and no. I think I just tend to. I mean, tough, yes, but you know, if you prioritize, I mean, obviously I'm putting like either training or my son first, which I mean, I'm going to, or, but I could put times in certain, you know, where I need to, but so I'm just gonna go hang out with them instead, you know, or I'm just gonna go do this instead. And there's nothing wrong with that. I, you know, I'm just enjoying it and I want to, I still got, if I'm still competing, like I think, like I said, at the adult level, like in a lot of the pro invitationals.
Yeah. So no reason. No reason. Yeah. It's more like your prime, dude. Yeah. You're not old.
Not old.
No, dude. So, all the UFC champs are like 33, 34, 35.
That makes me feel good. Yeah. but no, I definitely want to get back into it.
Your boy, is he going to wrestle? Is he going to be made to wrestle? What's your philosophy on that?
I just, you know, whatever he does is fine with me. I just want to at least try it. Whether, you know, team sports are awesome. I played all the team sports, baseball, football, basketball, played rugby, soccer, everything.
Right? Yeah.
So gonna throw him out there, and if he likes it, cool. Hopefully he does, you know. I know, then it'd be cool because then I could beat him up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, that's even more fun.
No, so. It's cool because, like, a lot of people will naturally wrestle anyways. Like, just sticking around the living room, we'll get in, like, a little wrestling match. Mm-hmm. And but like actually knowing how to wrestle gives some context to it, so you're not just kind of rolling around like aimlessly. I think that's super cool. Hey, Bethany Ann Quinn here. Who is Beth? Do you know her? Mm-hmm. Says, how has becoming a new dad affected your goals for fighting? Courtney Carlson says, great question.
I think they're teaming up on me.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That's her. That's Courtney's stepmom.
Oh, funny.
Hi. affected my goals. So it was right when Aaron was okay. So two things. Right when I found out when Courtney was pregnant, that day or the next day, I was in Vegas competing in American Nationals.
Oh shit. Which is coming up again.
Which is coming up, but there's like one guy in my bracket, so I'm not gonna go.
Yeah.
I looked it up.
That's tough.
Yeah. So that's why I like the invitationals. I have 16 guys every time. Right. I'm gonna get 1 to 4 matches. So.
Yeah.
IBJJF, unfortunately, you get
one. You don't have to pay.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you do.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes. But you can win money back, too.
Gotcha.
So it's worth it.
You're not winning money back in IBJJF.
No.
No. Like, no. We'll keep all the money. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll keep the money. keep the money, the recognition.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's a fucking scam.
It's
a scam.
Yeah, I was talking about, imagine if like a – I'm surprised they haven't came out with like an IBJJF credit card yet. Like,
yeah,
for the athlete.
No, they're gonna. Are they gonna? Yeah. Probably. I mean, I can't. It's, you know what's good? I mean, like, the, you know what's crazy about IBJJF is they want to be regarded as the sanctioning body of the sport.
And I mean, they are pretty much.
Well, no, sanctioning body would be like USA Wrestling, World Taekwondo Federation.
Yeah.
Like, the sanctioning body's. Like build institutions within the sport,
but jiu-jitsu doesn't have one right now.
Like, well, because they're not building institutions. So, like, one of the things that USA Wrestling did is they did the USA Wrestling insurance card, mm-hmm. where they actually worked through Chubb Insurance to get everybody catastrophic insurance for the, you know, for like $60 a year. Mm-hmm. And so those events are like those USA Wrestling, like those freestyle tournaments,
and the local tournaments like Sawa and all that.
Yeah, they're like $15.
Mm-hmm.
Like
once you get a card,
once you get the card, you know. Because they're actually building institution for the betterment and the progression of the sport. They're not just extracting. You know what I mean? IBJJF is just extracting. It's crazy. It's fucking crazy. You know, I'm so happy like Eddie Bravo did his thing and like wrestled away control of the competitive scene from IBJJF. But even still, it's like really hard to find opportunities.
It is. And I think a lot of the, again, like you said, Eddie Bravo, everybody's followed that format with like the finisher subs. Kaisei, it was out in Chicago. What is it? I'm not sure who's out there, but just the pro invitational shows or any of the Nogi grappling shows is drawing all at least the Nogi competitors. And those tend to be a little bit more entertaining. You know, they have the big show and lights. So, I mean, there's a couple terms that try to do that, like on the local scene, like, you know, Kumpei and winner gets some money, which is cool.
That's totally cool.
You know, like, heck, like, why not give us something to win back? And those are what tournaments I was always looking for. I know there's a few that did that in Texas, but now starting to become more prominent. Maybe they could do that a little bit more on the local scene.
Yeah.
And that'd be cool too. You know, help the smaller guys. I mean, they might compete more, you know, might get bigger tournaments. But yeah, IBJJF, I mean, so fucking expensive.
Yeah, it's so expensive. It's
and then crazy. They wait till, like, for example, like American Nationals. Okay. Like for me, I mean, me, it's not so bad, or anybody in Orange County, not so bad. You got to wait till 2 days, 3 days before to figure out what day you're actually competing when they have like a maybe day. Like,
it's crazy that they can't tell you the day.
A maybe day. Like, this day might be active, so you should fly here just in case that day.
Yeah.
Right.
I was like, great, I got to take a day off work.
Yeah. Like, hey, that schedule should be like released early.
Well, they should just.
They have a pre-schedule.
Well, they don't have to like bring, they don't have to take everyone to the maybe day.
Yeah.
They should take white belts and blue belts and be like, just expand to the fourth day and you guys do it. And then like all the upper belts, I think have had the right to earn some certainty.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like white and blue belts, you guys can eat dick. We've all done it. You guys expand to the maybe day. And then that's where the most competitors are anyways. Is probably
That's what I was going to say. That's probably why they don't, because that's all their competitors. So maybe that's why they don't do on the maybe day, but still.
Yeah,
they just wait too long.
The purple, brown, and blacks are like committed too much.
Yeah.
It's terrible, man. It's extractive, you know? But did having Aaron change anything for you? Or?
No, I think I competed more. I actually got a lot of things like, hey, don't you have a son? Like, yeah, I do. Like, he's going with me. He went to San Jose with us. I did not get there. He's been to both my Fight to Win shows since he's been born.
Oh, cool.
Right? So he has like this. He has a little onesie with this shirt right here. It's like our last Tapia. Name, Tapia, and it's me.
It's
right?
Good night.
He has a little onesie. And he's worn that
cool shirt, man.
Yeah, we get him little headphones, so
yeah, so it's not too loud.
Not too loud, and he's gone to competition, so like, it doesn't really change much.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I still do everything. Still train. Maybe a couple days I'll miss. Like right now,
just hanging out with him.
Yeah,
cool. What is your favorite part about competing in BJJ and MMA, and also what is your favorite experience with BJJ or MMA?
What's the favorite part about competing? Favorite part, but I just love competition, like just one-on-one. So like since wrestling, just kind of been, you know, I've done it, so I mean that's back to as real as it gets without fighting on the street, and I don't like to fight, so
yeah.
Anything I could do to not fight, I will do. So but competition is just, I mean, get to see what I've been working on and be able to like implement my game or my strategy on somebody. I mean, that's awesome. And sometimes I get shut down. That's cool.
Yeah.
Too. Go work on it, you know? But I get to get back up, do it again like next weekend.
Yeah. I mean, that's the fun thing about, that's the fun thing about jiu-jitsu is like everyone walks away unscathed. Mm-hmm. You know, like I think about dudes like juicing up for jiu-jitsu competitions. I'm like, God, you guys, like, way to fuck up. Way to fuck up the scene, guys. One, like, the juice itself is very expensive. You know, and then two, the whole point of jiu-jitsu is that it's fun. Like, a lot of times there's like not that much money in it to begin with, you know what I mean? So to be like putting all this like money in the juice to fuck up the scene when the whole point of it was that it's like, I mean like fun relative to like wrestling, where it's like a wrestling life is not particularly fun. It's more like deeply satisfying, but it's not always fun. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, I think that's what's super cool about jiu-jitsu. It's like everyone walks away, everyone lives. You really can be like buddies afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, I feel like sometimes if it came to blows, it's not always the friendliest. Like
in wrestling, like if you saw your competitor, it was more like a mad dog, or like don't stare at him.
Yeah.
You know, jiu-jitsu, it's like, what's up, man?
What's up, man? Let's see in a bit.
Let's compete. You know.
Yeah.
And it might be like now, just maybe because it's after wrestling, so you get to the intensity. I mean, intensity is still on there on the mat, you know, but I've competed against friends on the mat tons of times by now. So
yeah, it's not the same intense. Like, it's not the same.
Like, I'm gonna hurt you. Right. Yeah. But I still try to perform. I still perform. So yeah. I just have fun doing it. Through like every fight I've had, you could look on like some post, you'll catch me smiling either during an MMA fight or during the.
Yeah.
So one of my things right now for all my jiu-jitsu competitions and Fight to Win shows, if you go look, you'll find either a picture or a video. as I'm grappling, either I'm on top of the person or I'm defending something, I'll look for the camera and like double shocking and smile.
Yeah.
I think one of the funniest one is on a was on Footlock Fire. Was when I was out in Philly, finished your subs. He had put me in a cap slicer from the truck position.
Oh shit!
Right, and I'm looking for the camera and like he's cranking it.
Yeah.
And,
you're fine.
Yeah. No shit hurt. But I'm looking for the camera and I smile. I throw out the fingers. I smile, and like. He's like, oh, must not hurt. So yeah. As he lets go, I switch it and I cap slice him. But like, it is perfect timing with the smile. So like, it, yeah, you can find those all those pictures, all my fights. I look for the camera and smile, just kind of make it a thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you
kind
of expect that from me when you see me compete.
That's fun.
So I like to like grab the crowd's attention.
Yeah.
During the event, and might annoy the other guy, but that's okay.
I'll bet. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, dude, that mental warfare, man, is underrated.
Yeah, so I get to I have fun out there, try to like dance around, find the. Again, camera. So.
Yeah, find the camera. Have fun. Yeah, no, that's cool, man. That's really cool. All right, brother, we're getting close to about an hour. I gotta get out of here. Where can folks find you on Instagram?
So I have a couple. Okay. But if you've got my main one, Albert Tapia Jr. That's my one. And links to my other ones. Ground Karate Nogi. That's like my technique page, and just find those on Instagram. They're kind of linked all back and forth.
Albert Tapia Jr. And Ground Karate Nogi.
Yes.
Very cool.
Thank you.
Appreciate all right, my brother. Thanks for coming on.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
It's been another episode of Life in Jiu-Jitsu. Thank you all.